Great. So, Genia, whenever you're ready.
I am ready. Okay, I'm calling the SPAC, the Architectural Commission, public hearing to order at 5 p.m. on March 13th, 2024. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link and our agenda posted online at https://www.boston.gov/public-notices/16101521 or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering ID 931-9698-1611 pound. You can also submit written comments or questions to backbayac@boston.gov. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this hearing online. To ensure public access to deliberations of the Back Bay Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside the commission's purview. Okay, and our first.
Sure, and I will, I will first just do a roll call of commissioners who are present. And we have Andy Giampetera, John Christensen, Genia Dimitriadis, Susanna Gaspar, Tom High, Tanvi Nayar, and David Sampson. I think that's everyone. Did I miss any of the commissioners? If I did, please raise your hand. I see Tanvi, I'm going to make you a co-host. It looks like your phone is here.
Can we get Tom to do his video so we can see his eyes, see what he's thinking?
He did do it.
I think, isn't it on?
This video is on, John.
Okay, good.
It is on now?
Yep. I just turned it on. I didn't,
I can see him.
I was okay. Hiding before.
Yeah, he was cross-eyed a minute ago.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Genia, would you like to read the first?
Yeah. So our first application is 42 Newbury Street. Replace existing storefront and install signage. Is there anyone here from 42 Newbury Street?
Stan, I think you're here. I made you a co-host.
Yes, I am here. How are you?
Very well. Anyone else from your team that I should make a co-host to present?
Juliana and Kelvin from the Swatch group at Omega have joined us on the call, I believe.
Okay. Is that okay. Juliana Dewey? That's
and Kelvin Beto.
All right. There we go.
And Joe, do you want to read your comments first?
Yeah, I'll read my comments and then I will let Stan share his screen. Staff notes that 42 Newbury Street is one of several storefronts within the property known as 38 to 46 Newbury Street, a Georgian Revival style commercial building completed to the designs of Henry Bailey Alden in 1928. This particular storefront is taking a portion of the space formerly occupied by Brooks Brothers. Research submitted by the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay, NAB, suggests that the storefront is original to the 1928 construction of the building. The current storefront to the east, currently occupied by Van Cleef & Arpels at 40 Newbury Street, was altered in 2018. The commission conducted an advisory review of this project on February 14th, 2024, and encourage the retention of the existing wood family and transom details at the storefront. It should be noted that this property is located within the commercial area of the district, which allows for flexibility for addressing the special needs of businesses. Staff recommends approval, finding that the proposed work retains original storefront elements and is respectful of the existing storefront details. And I do want to just thank the design team for attending the advisory review last month and taking in all the comments that you heard from the public and the commissioners to really improve this project. So So thank you, and I'm going to stop sharing. So Stan, you can go ahead and control your presentation.
Okay, and I want to say thank you for having us back, and we appreciate working together on, and we're looking forward to being on Newberry Street. Let me share my screen. So we're at 42 Newberry Street, as we mentioned. Just a quick refresher, I'm assuming some people were not on last month, or maybe they were, but this is the storefront that we're looking to update. These are our two bays, and this is a picture to the right of us showing the existing connection to the building. So once again, this is our scope of work, and this is just a blow up of what is currently there. An overall building elevation, we are, as mentioned, here in the middle. This is the Brooks Brothers original space, and the Van Cleef and Arpels is to our left. Are you guys seeing my cursor as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay, perfect. Sorry. An elevation, I think we can jump to the rendered elevation, might be easier to understand. And before I get along, I did want to say that we, upon doing a rendering, which we'll share and show, we went back and had some internal discussions with Omega and the Swatch group. At last advisory meeting, we discussed having a brass storefront, which we show kind of here. This is what we were thinking. Upon further review, we were wondering if the committee and the commission would be open to substitute the brass with an anthracite, a dark gray finish. We are concerned about the juxtaposition of the brass with the yellow painted wood. And so we were thinking that actually this might be closer in keeping with not only Van Cleef to the left, but also the stores to the right that do have the black framing, as well as the existing storefront. If I go back to the pictures, is currently the same kind of that color. I think we would prefer that if the committee is open to it. That being said, I would prefer to start with the darker gray anthracite proposal and walk you, I'll show you the rendering. So we have, we've incorporated the comments. We were asked to retain the fan light detail to mimic, you know, to continue the historical significance, and we were open to that. We also decided to retain the green marbling that's on the bottom and consistent with the building. And our proposal is to then infill with our storefront and then add our Omega logo inside the original fan detail.
And you're leaving, it's hard to tell because you have white coloring behind it. There will be glass within the fan light?
Yes, the existing glass, the intent is for the existing glass to stay. Our proposal though is to add a white vinyl to the backside in order for our red Omega logo to really be visible. Mm-hmm. It tends to disappear behind the old glass and the framing. And we were wondering if the commission would be open to that, being that we can remove it at any time and it would not affect the integrity of the original construction.
Could it be something that, so you could get some light through it?
It can have some opacity to it. I don't think we were looking to have it 100% opaque. I think it's more to create a backdrop that would make our logo pop.
Green, right?
Being that it's smaller than we typically have, and it's within the, you know, the existing architecture of the fan.
How far back are you going to put that?
We were going to put the... I'm sorry, say that again. The
How far
signage
back of the glass were you putting the...
We were going to put the lettering on the face in front of the glass and the vinyl on the backside of the glass.
Vinyl. Yeah, I don't think that's the right material for that. I think something that's like a screen that will still, that you can still see the you know, all of your Omega stuff against it. It's a silhouette.
Okay.
Can you actually describe the vinyl? I mean, I know there are so many different vinyl, you know, these crystal vinyls and so on. So it might actually be that it's just the right material. I just don't know if we have enough detail based on what you're, the way you're describing it, but I'm sure you have a better sense of what, of the many different products.
I think we were, yeah, I think we were, obviously our intent was to leave the glass, the historical glass and everything as is. And when thinking about that, we assume that a vine, you know, like you said, either a vinyl that has some opacity to it or it's opaque, but anything that can be applied and then easily removed to the glass so that it's not, you know, upon us leaving, or even if we decide at a later date to switch it, that it's very easy and we don't ruin the wood and we don't touch the, you know, ruin the glass. To the intent of the spec, we can certainly kind of send the commission a sample for review of what we're thinking. I think we wanted to understand if that's something that we can do, and then present the color, you know.
Yeah, I guess I would rather not have it because of the light behind it and the consistency of the light as it goes on, the continuity as it goes down the front of the whole length.
Would
It's
you be more open to, like you said originally, a backdrop? So there's something coming down from the ceiling on the interior that forms that background, if you will.
mean like a screen?
Yes, but
That would, and that would not
screen is
be
deceiving because
attached
I
to the
think it would
glass,
have to
right?
be s
I mean,
solid.
that's almost like what's the, you know, what you put over the windows to get to keep the sun out.
Shade.
Shade, yeah, it's a shade.
Well, actually, can I ask what's behind the rest of the glass? So are we seeing, let's say, a drip fascia dropping down
Yes.
behind it? Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, we would have, yes, we would, our ceiling would step back a little bit and then we would come down to a lower elevation. So yes, the backdrop would be a sheetrock fascia, with some lights up in the top portion of it to illuminate the showcases in the front window.
Well,
I think
that
it
should
is
work to
on.
silhouette it, right? That should do what you want already. And it makes it consistent as it go across the width of the band.
We're afraid we would be too far back because we do need to accommodate the, if you could see the, you know, the showcase and that
Right.
has a certain depth to it. So at about 3, 4 feet is where that fascia would live. We're afraid you wouldn't, it wouldn't
Is that going to be
work too
brass
much.
or red?
The fascia, no, it would be white.
Yeah, so
No.
you'll have a white wall behind there. It's just there'll be several feet between that and the glass. So the question is whether or not that gives enough contrast for your logo to pop out.
We are afraid that it will not.
I guess my problem is the way the band reads. I think it'd be better if it weren't backlit, and then you depend on the backlighting that you when you drop down your fascia, so you get a consistent lighting on the back of the glass mullions. And
Could
I'm just
you,
trying to.
John, what would you think of something like a frosted finish?
No.
That it's you know it, there are vinyl surfaces that look like, you know, the glass is actually frosted, which is a very, you know, traditional way of treating. You know, so that it's not completely opaque and doesn't create this white fan, you
I
know,
could see
border.
that. I think you need to do a little experimentation with it. And
Would you be
what
open to
they
that frost if we did it across not just the fan, but also the rest of the details so that the glass is a consistent color, to
Yeah.
Susanna's point?
I think that could work. Yeah.
Yeah, and
If you
you're
get
when
the
you
right
say
one.
frost, excuse me, when you say frosted, you're not talking about the glass itself. You're talking about the appearance that's created from something behind, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, glass would right from the vinyl, from the application of the film,
yeah,
to the glass, which yes would create a consistent visual appearance from the outside and also offer us, like we said, a little bit of contrast so that our logo can pop and be visible from yeah. across the street.
Yeah, I think if you get the right one, I mean, I think you know, the vinyl that you can get that applies to that varies, and so all you're really doing is making it look like, you see that storefronts occasionally with them, so you can't see the people inside.
Mm-hmm.
I guess would the commission lean towards something that's more opaque or more probably
more transparent?
More transparent.
But I think it's a detail you could leave it to staff to figure out.
Yeah.
Myself.
Joe, what do you think of that?
I'd be happy to work with them on that. And
you know what we're talking about with
Yeah, so it would be going across the entire transom right. rather than just the fan light. And I would meet with them on site and we could look at a few different materials and
then you could also backlight it and see whether it really works.
Yeah. And yeah,
I think it needs a little a little attendance with you and the client there to just make it work,
at night
during the day.
Can I just step back a little and first of all just commend you on just how great this looks.
I think it's a
tremendous improvement from the options we saw before, and I think it's just really elegant with the dark stone and I really like the dark frame at the door that you were pointing out. I think it's actually doing justice to the gold or yellow painted or whatever transom that we have. So my only question would be whether you could make that bottom band at the transom a tiny bit thicker. I'm just looking at, all the other, five openings there, I think across, framing you, whether that bottom line between the traditional and the new could be just a little bit thicker, if you know what
I mean. I think, yes, we can look at that. I think it might be deceiving in the, let me see.
It might be a rendering issue.
Exactly. I think, from what I've the yellow is the wood is about 2 inches, and the frame in here is also about 2.5 to 3, and we were looking to kind of mirror that.
Oh, I would say I think that's great. It just looked like from your rendering that some of that material was just gone, but I think that looks perfect. Thank you.
I think I just want to be clear this from here down, we would replace it with our metal frame.
Right.
Okay.
Now, and what the rendering that we were just looking at and when we were discussing the transoms,
I'll go back to it.
Was that the surface that you're recommending or the surface that we looked at originally? I want to make sure I'm seeing which one it is you're proposing.
So the one we proposed, the ones that I believe you looked at in the proposal that we had sent, and I can flip to the next page, was brass. And upon doing the rendering and looking at it closely, we were not super happy with the two colors clashing. And we, looking at the building again, we actually and internally discussed that it would probably work better in the dark gray black anthracite finish. So this now, is, I believe, what you saw.
Right, and now show us what you're proposing.
So this frame,
yeah,
and this storefront right here would become, sorry, one back, the anthracite finish.
Okay.
What's the stone?
It's the same green marble that's there now. We're retaining a match.
Yep.
Which I can, if it's easier for the commission, 1 second. It's this. So we're keeping this.
Okay. I think I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. You move to our comments.
Yep. Let me just, I'm going to stop your screen sharing and get our script up here.
You are going to put the handle will be the Black, or what color will it be?
No, that is always a brass handle.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I share completely Susanna's view that this is a tremendous improvement and it's quite an attractive storefront.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I should have mentioned that staff also prefers the darker color storefront.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Okay, well, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. And I believe Serge has his hand raised.
Right, Serge.
Well, good evening, commissioners, Joe, and thank you very much for allowing the comments. We like very much our committee, the neighborhood architecture committee of the Back Bay, really liked the proposal that was done by Spin Design. So I echo what the commissioner has said here, definitely, that we found that this was a tremendous design and improvement over the previous one. And we think that it's a great improvement. We didn't have a chance to see in committee the interested color. I will say that from my point of view, I think our members will like this rendering as well in the committee. I think it would it's a great solution, I think, as well. I do have one question regarding and just maybe a clarification. I would like to if the design from the people from Spin Design could explain. There was a lot of in the last meeting discussion about the bulletproof glass. I want to understand if now in the windows that are there on the top for the transom, if the glass that is there remain as is, or if they're replacing this glass with bulletproof glass, and if that glass will have some low E factor, which may mean that it may have a different color a little bit, or if they're keeping the glass as is on the transom and just putting the bulletproof glass on the below the transom where the displays are. So that is my only question. But wonderful design, and really pleased to see where this project has been.
Thank you. Thank you again. Yes, our intent is to have the bulletproof glass at the bottom of the storefront, which is the new infill. And we are leaving the transom as is with the fan detail with the existing glass. I believe the commission was very clear that they wanted to retain that glass and those mullions. So our intent was to leave them as is, and we would be part of that film is that it would also serve a double purpose, as there are security films that would suffice for the insurance requirements. So right. That film would have a double job. It would serve as the backdrop and also
get broken. It wouldn't fall down and hurt people, right?
No, it's an actual film. It's crazy the technology that is out there now.
Great solution. Great solution.
Yeah, but it's just little things of white, right? Patches of little dots of white. There's a name.
No, it's one color. So it comes in clear. Obviously for use at existing storefronts and things of that nature, but we can also give it, you know, a gray radiant hatch. It does not have to be dots. It can be solid or, you know, have an opacity to it.
Would the dots be more consistent in your mind or not?
I think that they're not, it wouldn't be dots. It would appear as one color.
Yeah, you want it to look like one color. It might be composed of some dots, you know, that allow some transparency, but it shouldn't look like it's full of dots.
Correct. It will not look as if it has a pattern. Yes, they will.
I've used dots on classroom walls. you know, so as people don't go by, they, you know, that they would allow the light to come through. And so anyway, work with the staff architect.
Can you get that same film to give you that frost that we're looking for?
I believe so. It will either be the same film to get the frost we're looking for, or it'll be a double layer where the first layer is the security portion, and then the second film is the one that creates the color and the frost.
Maybe that's a better approach. Okay.
But they're, you know, they're millimeters thick.
Yep.
All right. Joe, I don't see anyone else with their hand raised. Did anyone?
No other public comment.
Okay. All right. So I think we can close public comment and move to John for the motion.
I move approval with the pretty much as presented today, with the consistent class treatment through the transom, with an understanding that we're going to create behind that transom in conjunction with staff and you know, the designer, to establish a consistent color of transom, and one that will also silhouette their corporate logo. Is there anything else that I missed?
I think we wanted to
bottom. I think you want the bottom marble. They're going to change that to the green color to be consistent with.
No, the marble staying. The marble staying as is. They're not
right. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, that the color
is that's part of the proposal, right?
Yeah, but that the bronze is not the selected choice; it's the gray.
Right.
Okay.
Because I think that was the decision that the applicant's looking for.
Yes. Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
Does that motion cover what you're looking for? I'm asking the applicant.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
I second.
This is Kelvin from the Omega team. We're actually in communication with the team that's working on the ramp situation, and they've advised us about the replacement of the green stone, and perhaps we will work with them to purchase a new green stone for where our doorway is, so it's consistent batch and lot number.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're looking after our interests. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our interests are all aligned.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so can we move to the vote?
Yes. Andy Champaterra?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Tom Binet?
Yes.
And David Sample?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for a very good job. Really nice.
I appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Cool. Thanks, Dan. All right, so we'll move to our second application. It's 299 301 Newbury Street, a front facade. Remove a portion of fencing at digout area at 301 Newbury Street. In the rear elevation, replace the existing fire escape with redesigned fire escape. Someone here from the applicant?
Yes, David Silverman with SK Design.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Anyone else from your team? Or
Bobby Main from our office is also here.
Okay. Who is that?
Bobby Main from STA.
All right.
Let's see. I don't see anybody else here from our team.
He is now a co-host, and I will read my staff comments. Staff notes that 299 to 301 Newbury Street are a pair of Romanesque revival style houses built in 1887 and converted to commercial use in the mid-20th century. The existing fence and dig-out area at 301 Newbury Street were approved by the commission and installed in 2012. Following a meeting with the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay last week, the applicant has revised the fire escape to a much simpler design. Staff recommends approval, finding that the proposed work is consistent with the design guidelines for the commercial area of the district, and the proposed fire escape design improves the overall appearance of the rear elevation of the building. So, David, would you like me to move forward with the presentation, or do you want to share your own screen?
Either way, whatever's easier.
Right. Well, why don't you share your screen, because that way you can control it, and if you want to point things out.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll start with the fire escape. I believe it's here. And I think is, so Joe, the only other thing I wanted to kind of add is that there is other scope here that was previously approved by BBAC about a year ago. So I don't want to, happy to answer any questions about that, but that scope of work has not changed. Some of you may recall, we were adding in a new lift at the rear of the building, kind of redoing the ramp, doing some paving. We ended up, you know, relocating some doors for egress from the two retail tenants. But again, all of that has been reviewed. And then we were starting to put the project scope together. We started working with some engineers that were looking at the rear facade masonry, looking at the existing fire escapes, which currently the two fire escapes are out on basically covering up the two bays at 299 and 301. And so what we did, it's not worth talking what our prior proposal is. Some of you probably saw it because I submitted it. But as Joe said, we worked with the Neighborhood Association over the last week because they reviewed our submission, and they had actually a really great idea to try to consolidate the fire escape in the middle of the two bays to expose the bays. And so we looked at it, and we were able to confirm and, you know, get it to fit. And so, you know, as I said, the two bays right now are covered up with the fire escape. And now the idea is to centralize or locate the new fire escape in the middle of the two bays to kind of clean it all up. Here's a couple of axons that kind of show, you know, how much cleaner it is. The bottom part here is a cantilevered stair that would go down in the event of an emergency, but otherwise it just remains up all the time. One thing that is a change here from the prior approved submission, and I know that the Neighborhood Association has expressed some concern about it, is this security fence here. There's currently a security fence there that Asana Partners, Lincoln Properties, have put up because there had been people climbing the fire escape. And that was causing some concern from the tenants that are in the residences above. And so Asana Partners and Lincoln Properties would like to, at the end of this project, basically reinstall or, you know, keep that security fencing in, just again, to alleviate the concerns.
Can I comment on that? Since you raised it, one of the attractions of the proposal that you submitted in February of, I think it was 2023, was the reduction of this 10-foot fence to a lower fence, and that was what was approved. You're going back to something which is really out of character with what we're trying to achieve in the alleys. And it's also, as far as I can find, this was installed in sometime between, based on Google Streets, sometime between 2018 and now. It replaced a chain link fence, and there was no approval to do that either by this commission nor by the zoning commission. Since this is higher than 6 feet, it's not an approved height. Now, I went through the ISD files and couldn't find an approval. Possibly there was one by the Zoning Board of Appeal. But I think that we're setting a very bad precedent with, what is this, 10 feet?
I mean, it's 7 feet from the ground level to where the fire escape is, right? Because the entrance itself is sunken from the, yeah, from the parking level.
Right. So I would strongly suggest that the commission continue to support the design that was approved last time and not not put back this taller fence.
Yeah, but, we have to be careful too, because you know you create another problem. Better to figure out how to keep people away from it, and not, you know, move the problem out. It's not.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, for reminding us.
Pardon?
Thanking Tom for reminding us.
So is that fence sitting behind like a retaining wall? Is that it?
It's on the retaining wall.
Oh, it's on it.
Yeah.
One thing I need to say from a staff perspective is David Silverman, this wasn't part of your application.
Yeah.
The fence.
So the approval last time stands.
Right.
With no fence.
Right. And I think, you know, David Silverman, if you're going to want to reinstall this fence, that you're going to have to submit an application for it, because once it's removed, then its installation has to be approved by the commission. And, you know, I think what you've heard is zoning does not allow a fence above 6 feet. So you would have to get a zoning variance for that first.
If it were 6 feet,
come back to the commission.
I mean, I guess we could come back to you and ask for permission for a 6 foot fence, but what's the temperature for that year?
What was the height of the fence that was approved?
Well, we just had like a short railing there. So
3'6" or something, right?
Yeah.
It looked very good. I think the drawings are in the NAB submission. I don't have them on my screen, but.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, I 100% agree with you that it looks better, way better.
But David Silverman, we can, you know, I mean, right now it wasn't part of your application to reinstall. Yep. The fence. So if you're going to propose, you're going to have to do a new application. And if you're going to propose a fence above 6 feet, you're going to have a zoning variance first before you come back to this commission.
Okay.
Having interrupted your presentation, let me just say, I think that this design of your fire escape is really a very nice solution to what you need to do. Right. And definitely better than what's there now, and also better than what the original proposal looked like.
Thank you. So I think the other thing to talk about is the work at the front of the building, or do you want to just close out the conversation in the rear here?
The only other thing I might mention is that there was a proviso in the previous approval that there would be planters that would be developed in consultation with the garden club. And right. I'm assuming that is still a work in progress.
Yes.
You know, on this rear facade, right?
Yes, that was in the rear.
Yes.
So for the rear, you were coming back to talk about the fence because all of this has already been approved.
No, the fire escape has not been approved.
The fence is, we're not talking about the fence anymore tonight.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for that clarification. Yeah. So
the scope of work is for replacing the fire escape at the back and removing a piece of fencing at the front facade of the building.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
And the previous approval stands.
In your mind, can the revised fire escape be approved and not, and as fence then has it dealt with separately?
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. The new fence or the new fire escape looks great.
Okay, so we can use that as an approval and still control the bottom. All right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Right now, so we're not, you know, this application is not to approve or review a fence. You know,
okay.
But what previously approved was replacement of this fence with something smaller.
So we've been reviewing the fire escape here. Revisions.
Yes. Yep.
I think it's very good.
Yeah, it looks good. Thank you, Joe, for that explanation.
Yeah.
Sorry for the confusion.
Okay, I'd like to see the front. The you know, where they taken out the fence around it?
Yeah, so this is similar to some work that we did prior. We actually did some work at 119 and 177 that was similar, where you just have high railings. Share screen. So, you know, these railings here, you can kind of see they just block the view from the sidewalk towards the retail at the ground floor. And so we're looking to just kind of open this up, put some, you know, nicer plantings in there, remove the railings from the 299-301 side, keep the railings where there's, you know, along the center entrance to the building, where you have kind of a substantial drop on the two sides, but just remove, you know, these sections of railing at the front and, you know, kind of, like I said, open up the view from the sidewalk a little bit more.
But what's going to keep people from falling off?
So you've got this, you know, 2-foot planter, but, and also you don't have, the drop right here, as you can see, there's only, a few stairs down to this landing before you turn and go down here. So it's not a substantial drop right here where we're removing the railings.
And your planter sort of acts as a curb.
What's that?
Your planters, you've got a curb still. It's not correct. Like somebody could just walk over it.
So. Correct. Correct.
And it's a fairly wide here. Curb too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's numerous examples of this up on Newbury Street.
Yeah.
Kind of bushes would you be, what kind of shrubbery would you be putting in there?
That hasn't been decided, but again, that's something we could work with the garden club on.
I would really love to see other examples of how this happens as you're walking down Newbury Street. I do have the same concern that people will just trip. And I was just trying to imagine whether you could somehow handle the handrail as it comes up from the stair end to turn the corner and create a little bit of an end protective zone, even if you don't have it along the front. You know, just basically how far the lateral pieces are coming out towards the street.
Yeah, at least keep the curve.
Oh yeah, no, the curve will be there, of course.
No, the curve portion of the fence.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
I think on both sides, right?
Yeah, all four corners.
Mm. That one. Okay. How do you feel about that? I mean, I understand that. It's a little fussy, but that's why I'm just not sure how other locations on Newbury.
Well, it also gives a reason for the fence that continues on past and gives you a clue as to where it is.
So you would stop, you'd go around, you continue it around the corner and stop right at that point.
If they want to open it up, that's what I would do. But I think it's awkward. I mean, right now it looks pretty good the way the railings go down and the fence has continuity that goes from the street to the building. And, you know, it's kind of a vocabulary of clues. And then if we want to take the front three panels out and it's safe enough, why then, you know, you still get the view down into the down to the, opens up the lower level if you need to do that. The fence has come along and then stop sort of weird halfway.
Well, I think if you saw other examples that this actually works. I mean, it is visually less cluttered if we have as you know, the way you were showing it with all the railing gone, and if it's safe enough, then I think we could go for it. I just had the first, you know, first reaction to that. Is it really safe for people who are looking at, you know, all the interesting things on Newbury Street where they trip and just topple?
Susanna, how do you feel about John's idea of continuing the curves on both sides and just removing the flat panels in the middle?
Well, I think that's what I'm kind of asking, David, whether that achieves the sort of visual openness that you guys are looking for, you know, or should we at least get rid of the curves as well, but keep that little, what looks like an 18-inch panel as a sort of a more, you know, strong suggestion that there's, you know, that's where the entrance is, kind of framing the entrance, the stairs down. So it's a design question and maybe just a precedence question. You said that you have done this many times.
But from the view down the stairway that you had, just last, you know, go down, bring it up so we can see that again. We were, you know, you can see the stair, the lower level from the sidewalk pretty well. From that other, you had a photo showing that. Keep going down there, because you can see down there to the some shops there. So you got pretty good exposure, and then you go around the front and you look down.
I mean, I do like the idea of just removing the three middle panels and keeping the you know, kind of grounding the corner with that. And I think that from a landscape standpoint, too, you could also plant something special at the corners to kind of mark the corners, too.
Yes.
I think that sounds good.
Okay. So that would be acceptable to you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to make the motion? Can I make the motion?
You can make the motion, John.
Yeah. Right.
So, Dave, you got to make the motion.
Okay. I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. All right.
We'll help you.
Okay. So, you need the script.
Just can start with the fire escapes.
Public
okay.
comment.
Okay. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. And I believe Serge has his hand raised.
Yes.
So floor to you.
Thank you again, commissioners. And the first thing I would like to do is thank David Silverman for his openness and his team for the collaboration on the design of the back. It's a rare that we see that level of collaboration and openness to actually experiment with alternatives and to have them rendered it so beautifully and especially so quickly. So I think we really appreciate the work that was done on the rear escape, and the committee felt that that would be probably a very good solution, and the rendering does show it, so it's great. Regarding the front fence, we didn't have any objections to remove the front fence, so in that case, with the corners, I think we would be okay as well. As the commission has noted, there is zoning issues related to the fence, and as the chief of design, Joe, mentioned, anyway, that will need to be rediscussed later. So, but for the proposal for the rear escape and the fence, we think it's a great improvement, and I think it's going to greatly improve the view of that building in the back, and both doing a much better safety for the occupants, having a much better visual impact, and maybe even be easier to construct too. So maybe more economical. So, a very good proposal.
Thank you. And I don't see anyone else with a hand raised. You, Joe?
Nope, no other comments.
Okay, so we can move to the motion.
Okay, you can help me here. I move approval of the revised
fire escape
in the rear of the building as shown on the, or as drawn as we are presented, excluding the fence, which needs to go back and which is in violation of, we think, and the front to retain, to remove the three main center, approve the removal of three panels of railing from the front facade to better open it up to the street, to the lower level. And that's about it, right?
Do we need just one other proviso, if I could, that consistent with what David said, that the selection of the plantings in the front be determined with the concurrence of the garden club.
Right. Do we want to hear from, she's not here, right?
Yeah, but they're not showing that now, right? So.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, to go to the, but go to the garden club because
they have also. With their, determined with their concurrence.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we have a second?
Second.
Okay.
All right.
Tom has seconded and we can move to the vote.
Yep. Andy Ciampaterra?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Tom DeMayer?
Yes.
And David Jensen?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great. So I think we can move to administrative review, correct?
Yes, please.
On the administrative review, just one point that I think I'd like to have reflected in the minutes. There are two items on the administrative review, one at 285 Commonwealth and the other at, I think it's 464 Beacon. And in both of those cases, those are extensions of previous approvals. I checked with Joe and my understanding is that the extensions incorporate the plans that have been submitted for the extensions incorporate all of the provisos that were previously approved by the commission. And I think it would be helpful if just in the minutes we could note that for, you know, 2 years from now, we will know that we were in some way not overruling the previous approval. And with that, I move approval.
Second.
Great.
All right. Andy Ciampaterra?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Tom B. Nayer?
Yes.
And David Jensen?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
So I think is next the minutes. All right. So do we have a motion to approve?
To approve. Well, what now?
For the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Andy Ciampaterra?
Abstain.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Gina Dimitriadis?
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Tom High?
Yes.
Tom B. Nayer?
Yes.
And David Sampson?
Yes.
Great. Any staff updates?
Sure, but this was a record hearing. Gina, thank you for chairing.
You're welcome.
My only update, I think some of you may have attended Director Murray Miller, who is the Director of Office of Historic Preservation for the City of Boston, gave his vision for historic preservation presentation last night at City Hall and online. Director Murray will be offering that again at a later date. And as soon as I have that date, I will share it with everyone.
Are they going to tape it or so you can watch it?
Actually, I think in Sarah Lawton, I believe it will be available as a recording. So,
okay. Yeah, because I was watching on YouTube or something, which was good.
Yeah, it's going to be posted on our website, the recording of the meeting.
Great, thank you. And that's Sarah Lawton, our wonderful preservation assistant who keeps us running in good order. So thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Hi, Sarah. Great.
Are we still on Zoom for a while?
Yes. Well, that was extended until March 2025. So
okay, forgot another year.
Excellent.
Yes, and hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll be made permanent or extended again. But you know, I think this is working very, very well. So
it is working very well. It allows more public access, I think, than meetings in person. The hybrid. I did attend the meeting last night, and also know people who attended by Zoom, and the hybrid didn't work very well. People couldn't hear, they couldn't participate. So I'm hoping that if the city does move towards a hybrid, which you know may be the solution for the future, that the technology will be there so it can really be as good as a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, that's been a huge obstacle in doing a hybrid, of just having all of the audiovisual equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have really great equipment, which most people don't have. You know.
But it gives the staff architect, I think, better control of the meeting here. Do you agree?
This does, yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. And again, and just as you said, we have much more public participation and commissioner attendance as well.
And they can participate from wherever they are.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Okay.
Those are my updates. Thank you.
Great. Well, I guess you can have a motion for adjournment, right?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Thanks,
everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. See you next month.
Thank you.